All right, let's go to the book of James.
James was written to scattered Christians, Jewish believers who had been scattered by the dispersion. Probably one of the earliest New Testament books written. It wasn't, as I repeated, I'm just repeating now, it wasn't a heavy doctrine book, as Paul brought later. But it was a book designed to get straight to the heart of the matter. When you read the book of James, it's nearly impossible to read it without being personally confronted in your spirit and in your walk with the Lord. How many know that's true? How many would rather have me teach on something else? Okay. James chapter 4 continues on with that perspective. We've already been through several sets of scriptures in James where he taught us about not to be double-minded. And you remember what double-minded means. It doesn't mean a slight confusion. It means you literally are putting the world on equal footing with God as to how your problems can be solved. That's a two-minded person, a two-spirited person. And the Bible concludes, and James says, don't let that person think he's going to hear anything from God. How many know it's not God and the world have all your answers? How many know that you can not get all of your answers that you need just by getting a better job and more money, but you got to be right with God? Someone say amen. If you want things to be right in your life, you get to be right with God. All right, he went on to teach us, don't let your mouths be harsh toward one another, but let your mouth be guided and guarded by the Spirit of God. He talked about don't give preferential treatment to the rich, if you recall. And he's using that scripture. You've all been familiar with it, where the rich come into your assembly and you give them the preferred seat while the poor man sits in the back. And his whole point was, don't live like the Romans do. They prefer the rich. These rich people that you're preferring are the ones who have sent you to a bad betrayal and persecution. Live instead treating all people equally before the Lord. Real practical, right where the rubber hits the road. And then he concludes at the end of chapter 3 with choose wisdom that is from above. There's a difference between sensual wisdom of the earth that leads to self and death and that which is of God. Remember that choose the wisdom from above? Anybody remember that? Okay, if you don't, it's on the website. GraceChristianCenter.us. It's there. All right. Are we really Christians? Are we really going to live it in a real way? Today, James brings us face to face with our own reality about that. And what we want to do is tune in and see what the scripture says. The title of this message is called Humble Yourselves. Say it with me. Humble yourselves. All right. Our first point. We've got three main points this morning. Number one, self leads to fights. Say it with me. It's real simple. Self leads to fights. How many know that's true? And in closing, we pray, oh God, we repent. Amen. That's it, right? Self leads to fights. Look at what the scripture says. Verses 1 through 3 of James chapter 4. I'll read from the New King James. And this morning, each section I take, I'm also going to wrap it up with the message because it just gives it to you in a real way. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Now let's go to the message. Where do you think all these appalling wars and quarrels come from? Do you think they just happen? Think again. They come about because you want your own way. Someone with me say, ouch. And fight for it deep inside yourselves. You lust for what you don't have and are willing to kill to get it. You want what isn't yours and risk violence to get your hands on it. You wouldn't think of just asking God for it, would you? And why not? Because you know you'd be asking for what you have no right to. You're spoiled children, each wanting your own way. Now please remember, this is James saying this to you, not me. Okay. As you start this section, you read this scripture and you think he's talking about the war in Afghanistan, right? Wars and rumors of wars. He's not. What he's really dealing with in this section is, how come, church, you're all fighting among yourselves so often? How come, believers, you're not looking like Jesus? How many know the church in America especially is divided and fights and quarrels all the time? Let's see the show of hands if you know that's true. Put them down. Let's see the show of hands of anybody who's ever been involved. No, don't put your hands up. No, but the church of Jesus is like that. And do you know what happens as a result? People stand on the outside and they say, I don't want to go to that church. They fight all the time. So we harm the cause of Christ. We harm the furtherance of the gospel because we insist on our own way, which is what he says is the root of that spirit. Come on, someone say amen. Fighting in church ain't right. I said, fighting in church ain't right. Say it southern, it ain't right. Turn to each other and say, so stop it. Christians had been adopting a mentality that they were better than other people. Better than the poor. Better than those they wanted to yell at. And they had the right answer on every occasion. Now he's dealing with the church and confronting them with what is still happening today, sadly, in the church. The typical church argues and fights, and the scripture says it's lusting for their own way. Lusting, a craving for self, capital S-E-L-F. You're either going to serve God or you're going to serve self, which then leads you to serving the devil. Gee, Pastor Kev, that's awfully straight. I'm just giving it to you just like James says it. It doesn't do any good to beat around the bush. You know, there's a difference. We said it last week. Let me say it again this week. A lot of people are committed to coming to church to feel good. How many like to feel good when you come to church? You know how to feel good? Be good. And so you come to church to learn about Jesus and his ways, to have his word written in our hearts and our minds. And if it confronts us, let me give this to you ahead of time. If there's confrontation in the spirit or conviction, it's not a condemnation. Don't condemn me, Pastor. I'm not trying to condemn you. But the Holy Spirit will bring straight on conviction. And if he does that, that means he's right here to help you change. And what we do when we get convicted is we repent. Lord, you're right. Here's how it goes. You convicted me on that, and you all know whatever area God's dealing with you in, and you simply agree with him. Jesus, you're right. I'm wrong. That conviction is right. I repent. I turn away from that. Please forgive me. Wash me clean by the blood of Jesus. Change me. And the Holy Spirit only has brought that conviction to your life to help you change to be more like Jesus. It's not to go get beat up in church. It's to repent and be better to be like him. Again, let me see the show of hands. How many want to be like Jesus? How many still want to hear more about the book of James this morning? Good. Just ask you for a little commitment on the journey here. All right. Lusting for wanting my own way, a craving of self to be seen, to have control, it leads to division, and the world is watching. Wars and fightings. That's what it says in the New King James. Wars and fightings. There's a difference in those two words. Warfare, quarreling, battle, controversy. Quarrels in the Greek is the word that leads to meaning fighting without weapons. Personal conflict. Fights in the Greek means an armed conflict. It's referring to the war that goes on in the spirit. Either the spirit of God or the spirit of the flesh and of the devil. It's referring to that spiritual warfare. Remember, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And so, can we just be honest? Anybody in this room, let me really see your show of hands. Ever gotten in a bad argument with anybody? Now look around the room. Oh, keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. Look around the room. So you're in this too. Have you ever been in such a bad argument that you stop yourself afterwards and you go, man, what spirit was that of? How did that happen? You know what I mean? How did that happen? It happens because of this kind of thing that happens in our soul. The word lust is hedone. The word lust in the Greek, hedone. Say it with me, hedone. Ever hear the word hedonism? Hedonism. Living for the pleasure of self. That's what the Greek hedone means. To please self. Sensual delight. The pleasure of self. I want my way. I want to win. I demand you do it my way. And the root of that is pride. And the root of so many conflicts we have. Now, don't look around at each other. The root of so many conflicts is pride. I didn't even get an amen. I expected one, but. The Bible says you lust, murder, and covet. The word lust means to set your heart upon it. To kill means to murder. The word is taken in the scripture here as hyperbole, meaning bitter hatred. You give yourself to division and hatred because you want your way so badly. There come angry divisions among yourself. Now, we've worked hard in this congregation to stand against those kinds of things. But you know what it's like to have those kinds of divisions in a church. And I pray to God we don't give ourselves to those kind of divisions. If there are those kinds of fights that are taking place this morning in the church, repent from them. Let me teach you a principle. Even if you can't always solve the issue, solve the relationship. Let me say it again. Even if you can't always solve the issue about which you're arguing, solve the relationship. My brother, my sister, we might not agree on that issue, but I love you and I'm committed to you. And I'm not walking out on you, and you're not walking out on me. And we'll keep running after the Lord together. And guess what? This issue that we don't get right now, that we're not in harmony on, we're going to just set that in the hands of the Lord. And we're going to walk on together and let Him bring that back and give us His answer as we both keep growing. Is that fair? To covet. In the scripture here, it means to be earnest and jealous over. This is all the spirit that leads to antagonism. Even if you win that kind of a quarrel, how many know it never feels good enough? You ever been in an argument with somebody and they look at you and they go, okay, fine, and walk away? How good do you feel then? Maybe for a split second you go, yes! And then it's, hey, wait a minute, where'd you go? It doesn't quite feel settled. There's more distance than ever if you demand your own way in the wrong spirit. James is simply saying, self leads to fights. Be a real Christian, church. That's no way to be like Jesus. Pride, self, and infighting that destroys families, churches, pushes people away from Jesus. Listen, we're real people. Fights might happen. Quarrels might happen. But let's stop and get it right with each other. Amen? Second point, self leads to flights. Self leads to fights. Self leads to flights. Look at verses 4 and 5. And James just says it straight. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? Out of the message, look at this. You're cheating on God. If all you want is your own way, flirting with the world every chance you get, you end up enemies of God and His way. Do you suppose God doesn't care? The proverb has it that He's a fiercely jealous lover. What's the real reason that jealousies are happening? What's the real spirit behind the pride and the passion of division? You have a heart problem. I'm repeating, I know, but the heart problem is self has become God. And you worship at the altar of the world. James calls it what it is. When you're full of self and worshiping that way, you are full of spiritual idolatry and spiritual adultery. Boy, that's harsh. And that's James' point. It's harsh. It's confrontive. It stops me. If all you do is go to church to feel good and you don't hear any conviction, you go headlong into sin, you don't change, you don't become more like Jesus. But James loves the church enough to say, folks, that is spiritual idolatry and adultery. Oh, I don't want to live like that. Come on, let me see the show of hands. How many want to live like that? Take some of you. How many want to live like that? How many don't want to live like that? Yeah, they're safe. You can, okay, raise your hand on that one. I don't want to live like that. And James loves the church enough to say, church, that's sin. Call it for what it is. I sat across the desk from a young man a long, long time ago who I was trying to help lead to Jesus. And every time I used the word sin, he would wince. And finally he stopped at me and he says, look, stop using the word sin. Made him angry. Stop using the word sin. Just call it a mistake. Mistakes, all they need is an eraser. Sin takes a savior. And I looked at him with love and I said, I'm sorry, I can't do that. Because what you have in your life is sin. And the Savior loves you enough to help you be free from it. How many are glad the Savior set you free? The sin problem is only solved by a Savior. But this spirit, again, it continues on. Flights, spiritual idolatry and adultery, a flight away from God. Wait a minute. Come on, come on. This is the world. You deserve to be happy. You deserve to win. You deserve to put that other person down or in their place. You deserve what the world can bring you. You deserve riches. You deserve the house. You deserve 14 cars. You deserve everything the world can bring. And James jars us to reality and asks this question. Church, where is your heart really with God? Talked about this before. Let's just talk. In America, the American church is way behind what God is doing in the rest of the world. God is on the throne and He is moving powerfully. The most rapidly growing church in the world today is not Islamic fundamentalism. It is sold out Christianity, where people are sold out disciples to Jesus. Except in America. And Americans don't want anything to do with the word commitment or covenant. Do you understand when you gave your life to Jesus, you married Him? Come on. You surrendered to Him. You married Him. He's your husband. When you got married, if you've been married, naturally, you didn't get married to two different guys. You didn't get married to two different women at two different churches at the same time, right? You better not have, right? That turns to red. You better not have. Okay. But that's how a lot of Christians live. Well, I got somebody secret on the side. The world. And God is saying, and James is saying, you're married to Jesus. We need to live that way. Where you've got the love and the benefits of the love, and yes, walk through the frustrations, but covenant and commitment, because you sold out to Him. He gave you His everything on the cross. You gave Him your everything in surrender. That's what the Bible says. That's what Christianity is in the Bible. James is jarring us. You mean, the Bible then goes on to say, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. Wow. That's straight, isn't it? Being a friend of the world makes you an enemy of God. Wait a minute, Pastor Kev. I live in the world. I work in the world. I relate. What are you trying to say? I'm not supposed to have anything to do with anybody in the world. Not at all. It's a matter of heart. It's beliefs. It's attitudes. If I'm not careful to stay in the Word of God, If I think I'm such a hotshot that I don't need the church and I don't need Jesus, I'd like to tell you one more time, you're just not that much of a hotshot. Jesus didn't build you that way. He built us to need Him, to need each other, and to need His church. But pride is the root of I'll do it my way. Me and Frank, I'll do it my way. Friendship with the world. The Greek word is fondness, and it leads to the Greek word phileo, to be fond of the world. Just be like Peter. Remember when Jesus was arrested, what did Peter do? Followed behind. He loved his Lord, right? He wanted to see what they were going to do to him. But he went inside the gate where they kept him prisoned, and it was a cold night, and all he wanted to do was just warm himself by the fire. Just warm myself by the fire of the world. It's comfortable here. I don't want to be seen as too radical. Why? I don't want people to give me a bad time for going to church. I want to go to church on Sunday morning, but I want to fit in. I don't want to be seen as weird. And they said to Peter, aren't you one of them? And he said, I like it here by the fire. I like it comfortable. Not me. Lest we be critical of Peter, that's the challenge of our thoughts and our hearts and our life sometimes. Oh God, forgive me for wanting the fire of the world to warm myself by and to be comfortable in it, instead of simply saying, yeah, I love Jesus with my whole heart and mind. Why don't you come to church with me? Why don't you come to Jesus with me? I don't want to get put down. That's what leads back to being two-minded. I have two minds. One that thinks the world will satisfy me. One that thinks God will satisfy me. And James says, you're not going to get anything from the Lord that way. Now watch. Verse 5 means literally that the Holy Spirit placed within us jealously longs for us to be faithful to God. Verse 5. Do you suppose God doesn't care? The Proverbs has it that He's a fiercely jealous lover. Literally in the Greek means the Holy Spirit inside jealously longs for us to be faithful to God. Okay. Kevin, how do you hang with the people of the world but not drink of their spirit? Because I don't think you're saying don't have anything to do with people in the world. Not at all. We just read about it in Matthew chapter 9, verses 10 through 13. Now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house, and behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Jesus didn't say, oh no, can't touch anybody. Don't smoke, don't chew, don't run with those who do. You know, that's not what he's saying here. When the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? When Jesus heard that, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The purpose is, what's your goal? The point is, what's your goal? Acceptance with the world, or do you want to help them come to Jesus? Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, will you say it with me, please? There your heart will be also. Where's your heart today? Maybe after all of this, you're looking right with me, and you say, come on, Kev, I can't get it together perfectly. Are you telling me I need to be perfect? Sure, I feel the tug. I feel the tug just like you feel the tug of the world. I would like to have acceptance. Sometimes I'd like to fit in. I told Pastor Sherry the other day, I went to a whole broker's thing and a real estate thing and went in there. And you know, guys, this can sound funny. Let me just say it to you straight and as quickly as I can. They do this whole party thing on Thursday morning where they go to all these houses that are on tour. Maybe it's just who I am. I got places to do, things to do, people to see. I got stuff. And so I don't go on the party. I go on the tour. But I'm probably making a dozen to 15 phone calls in between these appointments, and they're all having a party. No, but you know, you sit there and you go, at first, let me tell you, I'm going to be honest with you. At first I went, what's wrong with me, man? I just don't fit in with this. And then I realized, it's because I'm of a different spirit. I try to be warm and gracious and loving, do everything I can to influence him for Jesus. But I'm sold out to Jesus, and that's tent making, and I haven't made that my whole God and idolatry in life, and maybe I'll never have their yachts and homes. I've got an eternal home. And the Bible says I'm a stranger and pilgrim in this place. But I went through all of this. You know, come on, have you ever go through that? You're sitting there going, man, what's wrong with me? I don't fit in. Well, maybe I'm not supposed to. I just need to keep being like Jesus to these folks. I don't want to take a flight away from God. I don't want to take a flight away from God. I want to serve him and help these people find him. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. The pride that we buy into, the Bible says God resists the proud. That means God absolutely stands against you on that journey if you've chosen pride. Remember Balaam's donkey? Balaam's going to go prophesy, and Balaam's donkey sees an angel with a big sword, and he keeps turning Balaam aside, crushing his foot against a stone wall, and finally this foolish man, Balaam, turns to the donkey and says, why are you doing this? And the donkey finally opens his mouth. This is such a cool story in the Bible, and he looks at him and he says, why are you beating me? Haven't I been a good donkey to you? And you don't even read where Balaam stops long enough to go, why is this donkey talking? He just answers right back, well, yes, you have been a good donkey to me. Come on, donkey. And finally, the Lord opens his eyes and he sees that the donkey has tried to stop him from killing himself. Church, sometimes the Lord allows tough circumstances in our lives to stop us long enough and say, you might be heading in the wrong direction. It doesn't mean every bad circumstance is that way. But a tender, humble heart stops long enough to say, okay, are you trying to say something to me, Lord? That's what James is after. Self leads to fights. Self leads to flights. And the final point is surrender leads to humility and grace. Surrender leads to humility and grace. James chapter 4, verses 6 through 10. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Draw near to God. He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. You see now who he's talking to? He's talking to the church. And he's trying to say, make sure you're right with God. Lament, mourn, weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. And boy, Pastor Kevin, this is just the funnest preaching I've ever heard you do. Submit. There's a word we don't like in America either. It means to subordinate yourself under God. Come down off the high horse. Be subject to him. Submit. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Literally means stand against the devil. Oppose him. Flee. If you will oppose the devil, the Greek literally means he will run away from you. The devil will shun you is what the Greek means. The devil will shun you if you resist him. Stand against him. Oppose him. The temptation that he brings to worship at the altar of self, stand against it. How do we get this right? Several simple points. Number one, the Bible says, draw near to God. How do I get out of this, Pastor Kev? I'm in this. I see myself. How do I get out of it? Come to Jesus. Pastor Sherry talked about it this morning. Let him know. You pour your heart out to him. Be honest with him. Say, you know, Lord, I'm fighting with this my own life. Help me, Jesus. Come boldly to the throne of grace to find grace and help in time of need, the Bible says. Draw near to God. Number two, cleanse your hands. In the Greek, here's literally what that means. In the tone of the Greek, cleanse your hands. It means let go of what you are grasping and demanding God do for you. Ouch. Cleanse your hands. Let go of what you're grasping and demanding God do for you. That demanding is self. I really did have to repent of demanding God come through for me and demanding He make my time efficient. When I've done everything I can, if the Lord wants me to go around that mountain again, I better just say, yes, sir. Number three, purify your heart, you double-minded. There it is, double-mindedness, right? And cleanse, sanctify, repent, turn around. You've fallen into being a person with two minds again, so repent of that. Number four, be afflicted, mourn, and weep. What it means is, literally, it means, see how wretched your sin is, be grieved, wail, sob, and cry out to God. Well, the root of the song, Amazing Grace, that saved a wretch like me. That's what that is. Sin is going to separate me from God. So I want to get rid of that. You feel good when you are good and be good. You be good and you are good when you respond to Him. He only convicts, not condemns, to bring us to that kind of sweet relationship with Him that He wants. We're trying to be real Christians here and trying to walk with Him. What does it take? Not playing the world's game. Not living like the world all week long and coming to church for an hour. Not justifying my chase for self or spiritual adultery or division or arguments in the family of God. And the answer is all summed up in verse 10. Would you please say it aloud with me? Humble yourselves in His sight and He will lift you up. The Greek there is tapinoa. Say it with me. Tapinoa. Come down. Humiliate yourself. We don't like those words. But the Greek is saying, come down under God's hands in fresh surrender and He'll give you the joy and release of forgiveness and mercy. If you've chosen some of these things this morning, God's not here to beat you up. He's here to say, wow, He just wants to get us right. So we say, okay, Lord, I'm a candidate. I know I live in these scriptures. And James was being honest with the church, and I have to say, I live here too, Lord. Change me to be more like You. And the Bible then says, look at this. The Bible says that you don't have to struggle and strive to lift yourself up and puff yourself up. You don't have to keep going to that effort to make yourself this way. It says, you kneel down before the Lord. And He comes along and He puts His arm around you and He says, I love you, son. I love you, daughter. And I'm for you. Come on. And He picks you up and He says, let's walk this road together. And He gets the glory. We've seen devastating disasters in Tucson. It's a wicked, depraved man who killed and maimed people. We've seen a congresswoman. I pray to God that she as miraculously recovers and Jesus Christ gets the glory. That's my prayer. That is a depraved act that happened to her. Little 9-year-old girl, older folks, what an awful situation. People being flooded out of their homes and mudslides in Australia and Brazil. We see courage and humility and brokenness in their need. And church, that's often where it happens for us. In our need, we see Him. And a 13-year-old boy in his humility and his courage and his love says to a rescuer, don't take me. Save my 10-year-old brother. And the rescuer picks up the 10-year-old, carries him to safety. By the time he turns around to come back to the 13-year-old and his mother, they've been swept away in the waters of devastation. Save my little brother. Grown rescuers, if you've watched the news, are crying, though they've saved multitudes when the one slips from their hand that they can't save. Humbling. Broken. Church, just like those rescuers, we can't do this in our own strength. As we walk with Jesus and humble ourselves, we look in the Scripture and we allow the Scripture to do what it's supposed to do in us. It confronts us and convicts us. And I get no glee out of bringing a message like this. And yet I look at it and I go, it's true for me. And I had to repent strongly repent this morning. And I know that probably at least one or two of you are under some conviction for some area in your life this morning too. Do you know how much Jesus loves you? This is not a message of condemnation. It's a message of, let's freshly surrender to Him. How many want to surrender to Jesus in a fresh way? Oh God, do Your will in my life today. Make me more like You, and I want to be a real Christian, Lord. Out of the message, and what He gives in love is far better than anything else you'll find. Isn't that true? It's common knowledge that God goes against the willful proud. God gives grace to the willing humble. So let God work His will in you. Yell a loud no to the devil and watch him scamper. Now you know the Greek. You see that that really is accurate. Say a quiet yes to God and He'll be there in no time. Quit dabbling in sin. Purify your inner life. Quit playing the field. I love that in terms of spiritual adultery and idolatry. Quit playing the field with God. You're married to Him. Hit bottom. Cry your eyes out. Fun and games are over, James is saying. Let's deal with this in a real way. Get serious, really serious. Get down on your knees before the Master. It's the only way you'll get on your feet. Let us humble ourselves, and He will raise us up. Would you stand with me, please? But right now, we're going to stand and we're going to pray as a congregation. But if there are issues in your life that you know the Lord is after, kneel right at your chair. If you need prayer, come on up. We'll be honored to pray with you. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, the Bible says give your life to Him. Surrender to Him. He loves you so much. We'll be honored to pray with you. If you need healing in your body, come on up. We'll be honored to pray with you again. We believe Jesus heals. Father, this morning we come to You as a congregation, and we know we live right there in the book of James where James was taking his people. And Lord, this morning we respond not in condemnation but in repentance. Wash us clean by the blood of Jesus. Forgive us for playing the field and loving the world. For any fights, for any flights. And Lord, sincerely, we surrender to You. Say it with me. Lord Jesus, I surrender to You. Wash me clean by Your blood. I submit to You afresh. Right now by faith, I receive Your forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. Now my prayer is that you have a great day. Don't go out condemned. But if you need to take time with Jesus, do so right at your own chair. If you want to kneel down, if you want to sit at your chair and just quietly pray, do that. And then let's go celebrate the Seahawks win. But above all, we're His. Turn to each other and say, good thing you belong to Jesus. He loves you. Have a fantastic day in the Lord. God bless. Be released.